Good evening, one and all. Yes, it's another week, another Tuesday, and another Book and a Chat with me, Barry. Well, I was talking to my guest before the show started, and one of the things I was sort of saying, yeah, I've been to this at the doctors and stuff today, because I've got a bit of the old Jim and Jack issue, you know, the old back's playing up. So anyway, I went to the doctor, went to the specialist, and went to physio and what have you today. And as I was driving, the station I listened to happens to be a Catholic station. The only reason I must admit I would listen to it is because it plays the 60s and 70s music. But apart from that, in between the stuff, there was an interesting article going on that they mentioned on the news on the chain today. And it's to do, I think it was Hawaii, something like that. Anyway, about a court case going on over there where two lesbian ladies were refused to be able to stay in a bed and breakfast place by the people, because it was the person who owned the place said it wasn't, you know, her faith didn't believe in such a thing, and it went to court and stuff like that. Well, interestingly, it made me start to think, you know, the days have changed, obviously, since, you know, obviously people know I'm as old as, well, let's put it like this, I knew the Dead Sea when it was just ill. You know, I'm that old. But I can remember when gay, lesbian, what have you, was hardly heard of. Never. Now, of course, it's the norm, thank goodness. You know, and people have their own lives, live their own lives, and that's fine. You know, which is great. I think it's wonderful. I know my kids at school and everything. It's just taken for granted as normal, which is, I think, a wonderful way to go. But then, what about if it, you know, your own things like that cross references across, like in this case in Hawaii, with your religious beliefs? How's that going to help? How are you going to manage to cope with it, being torn apart with things like that? Well, my guest today, she can give us a bit of an answer to this, because she's written a great book, partly biographical, I'm sure, somewhere along the way. But we'll find out about that, because on the show today, I have the one and only Jen Slumak. Hi, Jen, how are you doing?
Hi, Barry. What an intro. Hello, my friend. It's so good to talk to you.
It is great. It's great to talk to you. Looking forward to this, I know. As I said, this book you've written, and we'll get onto the book in a minute, called Soul Not Skin, which gives us a bit of an idea of what's going on about in the book. Has this been something that you sort of had in the back of your mind to write? Because it's, as I said, it's partly biographical, and you've sort of got it out, not only to share with people, but almost as a bit of a healing thing as well.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, absolutely. This book was inspired by my life, but it's a novel, and it's been in me a long time, but I think I had to live through a lot of it before I was able to really write about it in a way that could be a story and not just a vomiting, if you will. It's a book that I wish I would have had access to growing up. You know, my daddy's a minister, and I always loved God, and I always loved my daddy. And then when I realized that I was gay, it became really difficult to reconcile those three things. And so it's been a journey. It's been a difficult journey, but I think it's an important story to tell. And like I said, I wish that there had been a book like this when I was struggling.
I am sure, because I didn't even realize that your father was a minister. It even makes it even more complicated. And as you say, there just wasn't stuff around about, sort of in the past about this sort of thing. It was, you know, you were sort of pushed away in the closet before you came out, of thing.
And, you know, Barry, sexuality is so difficult for us to talk about as people in the first place, never mind sexuality that's outside of the norm, so to speak. And then when you bring faith into it, my goodness, right? We just have to, we have all kinds of, turns and twists to make us uncomfortable, to try to think about, people who identify as gay also having faith, you know, also being people who are capable of loving in wonderful ways and providing to our communities and to our, our social structure in positive and wonderful ways. I got to tell you, one of the things that really, really helped me in my healing about my relationship with God and my relationship with myself and my sexual orientation and my life is I heard, I don't, tell me if you've heard about this. Have you ever heard about the two-spirited people in Indian tribes, Native American tribes?
No, I haven't.
No. So there's these stories that I came across where very natural and very commonplace and very welcomed that there were people who identified perhaps men who dressed as women or women who were in relationships with other women or whatever in these different Indian tribes. And the tribe revered them as being wise and being all-knowing for their different experience of being on this earth. That kind of opened my eyes a little bit about it being not necessarily a bad thing, but an honorable thing.
It's funny because if you go back to like the ancient Greeks and around that sort of time, that was the norm. You know, that was the norm. You know, especially with the men. You know that.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah. So you know, it's along the way, and to be quite honest, I'm afraid I think religion had a lot to do with it. It became a taboo subject. I mean, it was still going on. We know it was still going on, obviously, but it was a taboo subject. And with the religious oppression, in a way, you know, during the Middle Ages and after that, it became, well, you dare say anything because you know you were burnt at a stake or something. You know, it really became hard. And for you in your situation with your own family and the religious and your own faith within it, it must have been equally hard for you. Did your family understand, or was it something you had to hide, or what?
Well, you know, here's a few things about everything that you just said, all such good stuff that you just tossed my way. First of all, I think that it was difficult just because it wasn't spoken. I just didn't have any representation of what I was experiencing inside. I had no representation of it outside of myself. And so that silence and that lack of representation of what I was experiencing sort of allowed me to fill in the blanks, right? And and shame grows there. And so my being in the closet was a very difficult place to be. But I always want to really warn against acting as if my being a gay person in the closet and in the church is a unique experience, because I believe that human beings all know what it feels like to be in the closet, because the closet is shame.
Yes.
And when we find our voice on the other side of that which has shamed us, then we are empowered. But every person on this planet has had an experience with shame, with not being able to be all of who they are, or, you know, maybe they don't feel like, you know, working at dad's company. They want to start their own thing. You know, whatever the expectation of an individual is, if they don't live up to it, there can be a tremendous amount of shame. And that just takes a lot of times, frankly, it takes faith in something greater than human beings to overcome that shame.
That's right. It's a good way of putting it. I mean, you lock yourself away, you know, for lots of different reasons. And that's how it is. And I think in your case, this was the thing. You get to the stage where the shame, you're looking for a crutch to help you get through that shame in whatever form it was. And I think in your case, it was alcoholism. But that's what it is, isn't it? It's something to deaden the pain almost.
Yeah, absolutely. Distract me from the hurt because it's too much. I don't have the coping skills, right?
Right.
I don't have the information, and I don't have the social support to be well with my current experience. And I believe that God is bigger than that. I believe that God is bigger than the names that we give it. And I believe that there's room for everybody on this planet to find a relationship with something that's greater than a human being. And I think it's necessary that we all have the freedom to navigate that journey personally. You know, and so it's important that we embrace each other's otherness, you know, across the board. I turned to alcohol, as you mentioned.
Right.
I also probably turned to relationships and whatever I could distract myself with. But, yeah, fortunately, alcoholism nearly was the death of me. And so I had to make a decision between, you know, the tool that I had found to cope with my feelings or actually facing myself. So
that's the thing, isn't
it? I'm grateful to have faced myself.
That's the thing, being able to make that decision, to stand up, to confront it, basically. Was there sort of one moment where you sort of you suddenly realized, you know, well, this is my God. It's me he loves. It's not me and how I am and everything. You know, he loves everybody in every form and every way. Did you come to that?
I'm sorry, excuse me. Yes, I got excited because when you asked that question, I sat here and remembered exactly the moment that I had that moment of clarity. I was doing comedy in Chicago, and I had a gentleman who was doing a story on me in a local paper, and he had written a draft of the article, and he had given it to me to look over, and he wrote something, one line in that startled me. He said, Jen has spent much of her life struggling to be accepted by her father's God.
Interesting. Her father's God.
The way that he said, her father's God.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait a minute, is there more? How? What? And I just began at that point to really recognize that, you know, we get to come to this God or this higher power or this spirit of the universe or whatever in a way that we can. You know, what is our experience? What is my truth? What is my, I need to go directly to that through prayer or through meditation or through journaling or through something. And I have to build that relationship myself as to what's true for me. This is my journey to discover. And I can't just take what my father gave me like a hand-me-down. I have to know what I'm saying that I believe in. And so what is that journey? And that's what this is about, is my journey on that. And, you know, there'll be more books because there's more story, but
that's
this
good.
Is the first of
well,
several.
This first book, as you said, great that it's the first of several, Soul Not Skin, it basically takes you through this, the first part of your life, in a way. Being gay and having to face these sort of things, and obviously suicidal straits and that come along with it. Now,
sure.
As I sort of said earlier on, a lot of these books where people do written about abuse and all this sort of stuff, they write them and it's a therapy for them, actually getting it out of themselves onto paper, so to speak. Did you find that?
That's a great question. You know, I am actually a woman in long-term recovery, so I've been in recovery from alcoholism for many years, and I've been able to do a lot of my therapeutic work through that process. And so I'm very, very grateful for that. I don't think I necessarily, I don't think the writing the book was as much healing for me as it was sort of kind of putting a, now I can put a period at the end of it, you know?
Right,
like,
yes.
Okay.
Good thing.
Now I've written my, I have felt empowered to write my version of my experience of my life thus far. And what a powerful gift to, you know, young people who are out there where I was. I'm hoping that, you know, folks get a sense of how to love others who aren't sure how to love themselves. You know, we're a community, this human race, and we really truly, you know, our arms matter. We have to put our arms around each other. You know, that's how it helps. You know, somebody helped me by saying, I see you. And
yes,
listened,
yes, yeah.
And created a space for me to say who I am and say what was hurting. And that's how healing begins, right?
And as you said, you know, that when you were growing up, there wasn't such a book around. There was nothing and nobody to go to
not
for help.
Not that I could find.
Well, no, that's right. Well, sure, there wasn't. There just wasn't that sort of thing. But now, I mean, what sort of response have you had from this book?
I'm getting a lot of wonderful response, a lot of people very hungry. It hasn't released yet. I've got a lot of beta readers. It releases this spring. And and I'm very excited about its release, but we've done a lot of marketing and a lot of talking to different people, and there's an awful lot of folks in the queer community who are also in faith communities that are very much looking forward to embracing the book as a for their book groups, for their churches. And also, I've got quite a few people who are on, I don't know if you're familiar with Meetup. It's a
yes.
a website where people of common interest. So there's been a lot of book clubs and that want to take the book and do, you know, discussions around it in high schools and colleges. And so it's really interesting. It seems to be something that people are interested in. Folks who have read the manuscript prior to release are really interested in using it almost as a starter for conversations about these difficult topics.
I can see that, because
you have
a lot of books and a lot of discussion, you know, about sexuality, you know, these days. But the how it affects those in their religious beliefs is something that you don't hear so much about. And you have these discussions and that, especially in schools these days and everything like that. And it's something that there isn't to help. And I'm sure this will definitely fill the gap and create a lot of discussion around it.
Well, and I got to tell you, I can't speak for the queer community at large because I'm only me. But I will tell you that it can be very difficult whenever I speak of these things that were difficult in my life, that it always is only about sexuality, because the story is about a little girl whose heart was broken, right? Who was in love with God and who loved her daddy and loved her family, and then learned that God didn't love her. And this is a story of her coming to terms with that. And ultimately, you know, as a person, what I have learned, thankfully, which is probably why I'm still here and able to do this interview with you, my friend, is that, you know, we get to be here and we get to tell our stories. I completely lost my train of thought. I can't believe
Never mind.
There it is.
It's there somewhere. It just went by me. I just reached out. But it's interesting what you said, because I mean, it's amazing how these things happen, because people know I do my music programs over the weekend. I do sort of a couple of music programs on this channel as well. And I was just setting up some songs for, you know, to record for this Sunday's music thing. And lo and behold, what I sort of thinking, Ray Stevens, I haven't had one of his on, because I do like, you know, 20th century stuff, you know, so and that, and then I also do one on the British invasion. But I was playing Ray Stevens,
and what
did I have but Everything Is Beautiful?
Yeah.
Which is true in its own way. Everything, everyone amongst us, everything, and it's exactly what it is. No matter what the world is and everything, everybody is the same. It's beautiful. And I'm listening to you, and that tune's just plowing through my brain, because it's so right.
And you just brought me back to my thought. Bless your heart. Can you believe it?
There you go. I caught it somewhere along the way.
Bless your heart.
So
what I came to realize, you're such a beautiful man. I love that you just did that. That was fantastic. Now I'm going to have that song in my head, first of all. But this is what I was going to say. What I ultimately realized, Barry, is that my relationship doesn't have to be with people. I was giving people the authority to tell me what God what God said is true. And what I had to do is I had to develop my own relationship with that spirit and with truth. You know, I had to develop my own relationship with that, and I had to come by that in a way that was authentic for me. And fortunately, I have found people to support me and allow that growth. And that's what I'd like to see for more of our kids, no matter how they identify, who they identify. Sexuality is fluid. I believe that.
Yeah.
And so this is, it's a bigger issue of if a child or if somebody identifies as gay or queer or trans or something like that, do they hit this wall where the church or faith leaders say you are naughty or bad or God doesn't love you, so get yourself together before you come and have a relationship with God? Well, it's the relationship with God in my experience that allows me to overcome the hurt caused by the people who don't understand me.
And that's the thing as well. It's your relationship. I mean, what's the thing I always use? The parable, the two people going and praying, and there's one person renting his clothes and offering all his money, and to forgive him, and that he's going to offer this, and then the other person praying quietly at the back, just to themselves.
Uh-huh.
What's the thing? Who's the most? It's what you do. You have a quiet word
That's
with
right.
God in your time. You don't have to make an exhibition of yourself. You know,
right.
you don't have to go to church to believe. It's your fault and your own conversation with God, and and that's what a lot of people run into, the image that they think they should be doing against how they are communicating, with him themselves.
Yeah. And I want to live in a world where we all get to tell our stories.
Indeed. Well, you've got this one story coming out, so you're going to have some more coming along the way?
Oh, yeah. I've got lots of ideas. I've got lots of stories to tell. I've just got to get through this initial publishing, and then I'm going to hand all of that over. If I can get enough people on my team to handle all the administrative stuff, then I'm going to just stick to writing. I'm very excited.
Yeah, I always say to people say, I've got my book, it's finished, it's here in my hand, that's it. They think the hard work's done. Yeah. That's when the hard work starts, when you've got the book and you've got it all. I mean, people just don't realise, but that really is. And I think in your case, there'll be a lot of, you're going to have to give up some of your comedy stuff, because you're going to be asked to do a lot of talking at various places, because it's the sort of thing that, all sorts of book club, church, what have you, in a lot of areas, and that you'll be asked to come and talk on, I'm sure.
Well, I welcome it. I welcome being somebody to facilitate conversations, the hard conversations. Let's have them, folks. Let's have them.
Well, that's it. I mean, it's hard until you do it. It's hard to start. It's hard to open the door to start talking about stuff. But as soon as the door's open, in your own life or your own conversation with God how are your family with you now? Is that door been opened and is that something you're still working through?
Bless your heart. I never did answer that, did I? My family and I are well. I'm very happy to report that while it's been a challenging journey for all of us, my coming out and dreams wonderful and dreams broken, I was married. My wife and I got married recently, mm-hmm. and my entire family was present.
Oh, that's
very,
so
very
good.
That
is
that.
So good.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so pleased
Including
for you on
my,
that.
My retired minister father. Yeah,
oh.
God bless him.
That, I mean,
my
that
father
must have been
my
hard.
Stepfather walked me down the aisle.
That must have been hard in a way.
It was amazing.
It must have been amazing for you, but can you imagine how it felt for him as well? It must have been, he'd have had to gone through his own devils, if you like, to do that. But it's great that he was able to understand and see from your own happiness as well. That must have been so special.
We don't give ourselves enough credit, human beings. We are resilient folks. If we lead with love and we love our families and we love ourselves and we love our neighbors as best as we can, then it gets really, really messy sometimes. But it works itself out. It really does.
Yeah. We all have to go through the mud and the mire and everything. But it's what you.
That's
it,
right.
It's coming out the other side. It's important.
That's right.
If you
That's
stop,
right, Barry.
If you stop halfway, then you're in trouble.
That's right.
Well,
then you're stuck in the mud then.
Oh, tell me about it. But seriously, it's been really terrific, and this sort of book is one that I am telling you now. So many people, this day and age, I got some older teen kids and stuff like that, and from the schools and everything I hear from them and the people I've met and everything, this is needed. This is required to help people through these issues before they do things to themselves that they shouldn't do because they don't think. And I'm sure a lot of people will find this great. So what I'm going to do now anyway, because as always, the clock always beats us. I don't know why. We talk too much. I'm gonna hand the show over to you, Jin, and have you tell everybody where they can find all about you, and of course about your book, Soul Not Skin.
Well, Barry, first I want to say it's been an absolute joy being on your show, and I'm so honored and thrilled to be a part of it because I just love your show and your laughter. My book, honestly, I listen to it, it makes me giggle. It makes me very, very happy your laugh. So the book is called Soul Not Skin, Becoming the Me That I Was Meant to Be, and it is inspired by my life, and it's going to be available in Amazon and many other outlets. I will also be recording an audiobook version of it.
Oh, great.
And so people can listen in their car, because that's how I like to read books these days. You can find out the release date and everything else you could possibly want to know about it at my website, which is soulnotskin.com. All one word, soul not skin.
Well, Jen, thank you so much for being a guest on the show. It's been really great. Now, when that next book of yours comes out, I want you to promise you're going to come back on the show and talk about the next book.
I'd be thrilled. I would love to.
That's
thank
great.
You.
Well, thank you so much, and good luck with the book launch.
Yes, sir.
Well, there you go. My guest today, Jen Slumac. That's S-L-U-M-A-C. That's such a bit. J-E-N. Just Jen. J-E-N Slumac. S-L-U-M-A-C. And her book, as you said, Soul Not Skin. Becoming the Me. I can't even read it. Soul Not Skin. I can't read the bit underneath that. The eyes are going now. It's old age. Great book, as I said. I'm sure a lot of people, a lot of schools, book clubs, etc., will really find this, well, and people in their own lives will find this a lot of help and a very interesting book. Highly recommend it. And as you said, the audio book hopefully coming out soon. And it's the sort of thing to listen to in the car, make you think, I'm sure it will. Well, that's it for today. Now, normally I just drop off at this time, but I'm going to have to tell you about my guest tomorrow. You've heard me talk about this guest a few times. She was on the show about 5-6 ago, a lady called Lucinda Schreiker-Smith. And if you remember, I mentioned her because she was in the Amish faith, and she basically escaped what went on behind the locked doors of the Amish faith. And she's still basically almost like a Salman Rushdie. Half of the Amish faith are after her, and half the rest of the people are saying thank you for letting us know what goes on there, and help me escape from this religious abuse and sexual abuse at the same time. But that'll be tomorrow. I'm ever so pleased to have her back. I think she's got a new book she's working on at the moment, so we'll find out about that. So until then, as always, I've got one thing left to say. Don't forget...